Good morning once again. This is Cyril Stevens coming to you from Christmas Valley, hoping to bring you nuggets of truth and a little interest in the Word of God. Well, now, I would take you into memories. It's very easy to memorize and it's very easy to remember the shortcomings and the good things and all the things that take place. We often think of Christmas and we think of last Christmas and who came and who said this, that and the other. And we remember things. Now the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to be remembering me, as if they could possibly forget him. But they did forget him, and they did run away from him. And when all was said and done, the Lord Jesus was left on his own. Now, this is an exciting and disappointing piece of scripture, because although Peter had said, it won't happen to you, Lord. I've got a sword tucked in my cloak and I'm going to fight like a swordsman, forgetting that he was only a fisherman. And there wasn't any way that he could fight with a sword. He could with a net, but not with a sword. And he forgot that, but he was carried away in such a way in his thinking that he said, Lord, I'm not going to let these things happen to you. Now, Jesus had said, the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, and the learned men that are in charge of things that are religious will take me, and because they hate me, and understand this word hate, Jesus recognized hatred. And we're not allowed to use the word hate today because it's too firm. It's too fantastic a word to use. And we sometimes get upset. I wouldn't hate anybody. My goodness me, I don't hate anybody. But we do hate. And hate comes into our hearts and lives and it permeates into our experience. And as it permeates into our experience, we act according to what we see and feel and think. And you and I need to be very careful of the language we use, because these people hated Jesus. And you wouldn't think they could, because here, standing around in this parade, as I've already explained to you, was the little girl who was brought back from the dead, the young man who was brought back from seizures, and there was another young person that was brought back from the crippling devices of Satan. There's blind Bartimaeus. There are people that have all received their sight. There are people that have received the generosity of God, and yet they learn to hate in just a few hours the Lord Jesus. And how is that possible? And why did it happen? Because in the heart of a man, there is such deceitfulness, and not just in riches, but the deceitfulness comes in the fact that he won't admit that his heart is blackened with sin, and that his heart is extruded with the sins of this world, and he carries on sinning. And a man needs to repent and believe the gospel. Well, we know that, and we know all of that. But let me take you further into this. If you'll go into the first epistle of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you will discover how the Lord Jesus, speaking through the Apostle Paul, says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Now, I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the man is the head of the woman and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while prophesying disgraces his head. Now, I don't want to get into this discussion, but it's there and we need to discuss it at another time. Every man who has something on his head, can you imagine that? Anything, a cap, a hat, a fancy cowboy hat, if it comes in prayer, that man being the head of the woman and God being the head of Christ, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. We don't understand that for anything. We don't understand why we take our hats off when we pray and all sorts of things we don't do anymore. But I remember days when the hearse would go past and every man would stand abruptly still and remove his hat and bow his head until the hearse had gone by. There was a certain sanctimoniousness, I don't doubt, but there was a certain reverence and reflection on life and death. And it was passing by, and a man would uncover his head because his head would otherwise be an affront to God. A man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image of and glory of God. For a man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. And this is where we get so tied up in our thinking and ungenerously look at the things of this world. But I don't want to get there either. The Lord Jesus went on and he was saying that I want you please remember me. Please remember me. And so the Apostle Paul says, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, and the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you are asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come to you. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking of great things here. Not only do we remove our hats in the presence of the Lord, not only do we remove our hats in the house of the Lord, but we go further than that. We remove our hats in an attitude of humble adoration. It is a humbling thing to remove one's hat. If the President of the United States is to come and visit me, I wouldn't dream of having my hat on, because it would be disrespectful. When I go into the presence of God with the Lord Jesus and remember all that Jesus suffered on my behalf, I remove my hat. Now then, I need to remember the Lord. What do I need to remember? When I believe this, I need to remember that when Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to be terribly abused, they're going to hit me with their fists and slap me with their hands, they're going to cause blood to come from my nostrils and mouth, and they're going to beat up my face so that my visage will be so marred that people won't recognize who I am. And they will take a whip and they will whip me, and by the stripes of that whip, people will be healed and they will be made whole. And we don't think this through too well, and we forget to remember. We need to remember the Lord Jesus as he suffered these dreadful things of man. Man was so unkind. Winston Churchill employs the expression, man's inhumanity to man, many times in his writings. And I would remind all of us that that inhumanity, that unkindness, is ever in front of us. Now, God is full of justice, and God accepts the suffering of Jesus in our behalf. And when he saw the suffering of the soul of Jesus, he remembered his word that no man should be troubled more than he was able to cope with. Jesus was crucified. Let me explain crucifixion quickly. Spikes, metal spikes, most likely they were made just for this sort of thing, but they were rammed through the hands of the Lord Jesus and rammed through his feet. We think his two feet, one on top of the other, were nailed together. Now, there's a lot of discussion that goes on And people want to sound really intellectual. And we want to say, well, yes, but you see, if there was a nail in the palm of a man's hand, it would rip out, because when they lifted that dreadful gallows that we call a cross and dropped it into the excavated position, why, the pressure on his hands would just rip through the hands and tear the hands apart, and he could not hang by his hands. So they used, says some people, so they used to tie the wrists to the cross to support and keep that person on the cross for a few hours. So now people say the Bible isn't telling the truth when it says that Jesus' hands were pierced and his feet were pierced. But I believe this, that the Bible never changes its mind. I believe that the Bible is absolutely correct and truthful. So Jesus was hung by his hands and his feet. Indeed, when Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And to Thomas, this was a very important factor. Real crucifixion. Jesus was to hang on those nails. Now, they're not the silly little nails that we put houses together with. We're talking of steel spikes or iron spikes. They're pretty thick. They'd be an inch by three quarters, most likely. And there was maybe, if the blacksmith was kind, he would put a piece of extra metal in there and a man could hang on to that metal while he hung on the cross. I don't know. It's all summation. We're all making up a summary that we cannot prove, will not prove, and we need to believe God's word. He hung on Calvary's cross. His feet were pinned to the cross. His hands were pinned to the cross. And a soldier took a spear and thrust it into his side. And out of his side came water and blood. And that convinced the centurion and soldiers that were attending this crucifixion that Jesus died. Jesus was a dead person. Oh, what suffering. Oh, what suffering. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, understand that Jesus suffered for our sins. This is not some story that we tell. This is a truth that we need to learn. And that Jesus went to that cross and suffered his stripes, that is, when the whip, the lash, peeled great chunks of flesh from his back, was a cruel way to put that dear man's back onto this unhewn wood. The splinters going into his back must have been incredibly fierce to his body. Now when I think of Jesus, it's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. It is what ravishing, fearsome things man does to man because he hates God. And the hatred towards God was poured out through Jesus. They poured their hatred into Jesus because they hated God. Let me break off for a moment and say this to you. The suffering of many pastors is the suffering that is the continuation of the suffering of Jesus, believe it or not, because people hate Jesus. And we need to see this. We need to look hard at our own souls, our own attitudes, our own redemption. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords needs to enter into our experience in a new and fantastic way, that we may be redeemed, brought back from Satan's sin shop. We need to be redeemed. And Satan needs to remember he has no power over us because we're trusting Jesus, and all power was given unto Jesus, and all power was given to him to express as he would. Now let's go back and see this just a little more in detail. You'll find in reading the scriptures that the Lord Jesus suffered the indignity of this crucifixion. You'll read that he was lifted up high between heaven and earth. And Jesus had to be lifted up, and he had to be tried, and he had to suffer, because you sinned, I sinned, we have sinned. Now, Jesus knew all this as he was on his way to the cross, while the children especially were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And they were singing to Jesus and saying, "What a precious Lord Jesus, he cares. Look at us, we're healed. Look at us, we're cleansed. Look at us, we're made whole. The leper is dancing beside the cripple. And the cripple and the leper are dancing with joy with the person who could not see but now does see," and so on. And we need to understand that God so loved you in this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Now, have you collected your everlasting life by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus? Have you collected your everlasting life by putting your joy and presence in the presence of Jesus? In serving Jesus, have you declared that you're his and he is yours forever and forever? So, ladies and gentlemen, it's absolutely essential that Easter is not just looking at the suffering and the passion of Christ. It is in the risen, powerful Lord Jesus Christ, and death hath no more dominion over him and those of us that trust him, but we are alive forever and ever in him. I say, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, bless us now, and bless this precious day of remembering that Jesus is back from the dead and ever lives to make intercession for people just like us. All the failures and all the hopelessness, and we come to him and he washes us clean and gives us new life a new power to live that life. Will you bless us now and hold us now? Cuddle us close now. Hear our tears. Hear our cries. Know that we come to you. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I hope the Word of God penetrated any hardness you may have in your heart, and that you might be revived in the Lord Jesus. Goodbye.